A quiet morning last week, I left my office in São Paulo, Brazil, and walked over to the São Paulo temple site. There was a soft morning mist beginning to clear away. As I walked up the gentle rise from the street onto the site, I noted with great interest and pleasure brush being cleared away and new pegs recently driven into the ground. These pegs in the ground mark the dimensions of a new temple soon to be erected for the glory of God and the endless blessings of his children in South America. This temple will be different from any other building now standing in South America. As I stood where the entrance of the temple will be, I recalled how 36 years ago, my companions and I landed by ship in Santos after 21 days at sea and went by train to São Paulo. There were other missionaries on the same vessel going to Argentina and Uruguay, which were the two other relatively new missions on that continent. In all of South America, there were but a mere handful of members of the church, mostly immigrants from Europe, many of whom were converted in Europe. As I stood last week on this site, where this new, special, multi-million-dollar building will stand, I recalled how difficult and unpromising the future of the church appeared in South America 36 years ago. In all our mission, we had only 3 baptisms in 1 year, despite the conscientious labors of over 70 missionaries. We did not have the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, or the Book of Mormon translated into Portuguese. We held our meetings in rooms that were small and unfit for the lofty message we were trying to teach. We often had to sweep out these rooms before meeting to remove the empty bottles and trash from the revelry of the night before. It was always difficult and often discouraging. In comparison, last year in South America, there were over 8,000 convert baptisms. There are now 22 stakes and 17 missions of the church with over 152,000 members on that vast continent. And the work has only begun. Our great first-generation South American regional representatives, presidents of stakes and missions, are men of affairs, including bankers, businessmen, factory owners, and professional men. They are men of great ability and faith. I marveled how, through the Spirit of God, this has all come about. Surely it is a fulfillment of what Jesus said to his early apostles, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Having seen it all from close range, I cannot doubt that this is the work of God. What has happened in Brazil has also happened in the other countries as well. The day I was at the temple site, President McAllister of the Bolivia La Paz Mission wrote, "We are still amazed at the growth of the church since we were here before. When we left in 1967, there were fewer than 300 members compared to our 8,500. President Bradford, sustained yesterday as a general authority, writes from Chile, "For as young as the church is in Chile, I marvel at the strength and ability of many local leaders. Surely the keys of the kingdom have been given to our present prophet and to the modern apostles, even as these were given by the Savior anciently." Last week at the temple site, after much brooding and pondering, I stepped further back to where the inside of the temple will be. The morning mist had now cleared so that in the distance I could see part of the great city of São Paulo. I recalled how, as a boy missionary, I presided over the work in that city with 13 missionaries and about 300 members. There are now 4 stakes of the church and about 100 missionaries laboring in that city. There are also neighboring stakes in Campinas and Santos. This great progress in South America has come about largely through the sacrifice and dedication of hundreds of missionaries and their families, as well as the dedicated mission presidents from the United States and Canada. This is changing. In the Brazil Porto Alegre mission, there are now 136 missionaries, of which 58, or 43%, are native-born Brazilians. All of the 4 mission presidents in Argentina are native South Americans. How can anyone who has seen what I have deny that this is the work of God? That morning last week, I walked further on the Holy Temple ground. I traveled to establish from the ground pegs where the ceiling rooms will be. Already it seems to be hallowed ground. In my mind's eye, I could see the young couples, clean and pure, hand in hand with smiles on their faces, many with brown skins, handsomely contrasting their white clothing, who will come to this sacred spot to be married under the power of the holy priesthood of God for time and for all eternity. It was easy to imagine the great joy of whole families who will come to that spot to be sealed and bound together under the same authority into an eternal family association through their worthiness. They will come from the elevated passes and the high plains of the Andes. They will come from the seacoast. They will come from the great cities. On that spot, the doors will also be opened to the kingdom for those who died without an opportunity to accept the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ on this earth. In addition, worthy members will receive the ordinances relating to mankind's eternal journey and the endless potential and development of each human soul. This has been provided by a gracious, just, and loving Father for all of mankind, and will permit those who have participated in these enlightening ordinances to raise themselves to their highest potential in this life and for all eternity with an endless association with their families in the presence of their Creator. With this in mind and with eyes wet with tears, I remember being told by one of our great South American stake presidents that when he comes to General Conference in Salt Lake, he and his wife will have to decide which two of their five children they will bring to be sealed in the Salt Lake Temple. It takes 43 solis to make $1. Now their plans have changed. They are planning to take all five children to the first temple in South America. His brother, stake president in the same city, has never had the privilege of being endowed and of being sealed to his wife and family in a temple. That morning a week ago in the Sao Paulo temple site, I walked further back, still inside where the temple will be. Having looked at these plans many times, I knew where I was. I have had goose pimples and felt tears almost every time I have looked at those plans. I was now standing where the baptistry will be. Thanks to President Kimball, like in all other temples since the time of Nauvoo, it will be on a font borne on the back of 12 lifelike oxen representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Here will come the children, full of the mirth and excitement of youth, to perform the sacred ordinances or performing vicarious baptisms for those who have not had the opportunity in their lifetimes. It was easy to imagine the pleasure of those coming to be baptized and the great joy of those who have waited so long for this saving ordinance in their eternal journey. I was grateful that Jesus had said to his apostles, "And I will give unto thee the kings of the kingdom of heaven." Contemplating all of this, I could not doubt that this is the work of God upon the earth. It was now time to walk outside the pegs on the ground, marking the dimensions of that long-awaited temple. I tried to imagine how high the front spire would be. At the same time, I tried to contemplate the time when the short, stoic Indians from Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, and Paraguay will also come to that spot and gaze upon that same spire. I wondered if some of the men might not admire the fine craftsmanship in the building and compare it with the quality of the workmanship in the walls of the sacred buildings of their forebears, still standing in Cusco and the Machu Picchu and many other places in South America. They had their temples also. These descendants of the Lamanites and others are people with a great past. And with the enlightening power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are a people with a great future. One of them was sustained yesterday as a general authority of this church. Recently, there were over 8,000 of them assembled in the Plaza del Armas in Cusco to hear the Lamanite generation from Brigham Young University. Their day is coming soon. What does this new temple mean, soon to be built in South America, mean to the people there? It means great and endless blessings. It also means great sacrifice. President Kimball said recently in Tokyo as he announced the building of the first temple in the Far East, "No temple has ever been built that did not require sacrifice and hard work. It takes many pesos, escudos, soles, and cruzeros to make $1. For instance, last month, the faithful members in Chile sent over 1,902,178 escudos towards the construction of the Sao Paulo Temple, which is $387.90. The Spirit of God has been distilled and has rested mightily upon the countries in South America since the time of my youth when it was so difficult. How does the work of God go there now? Problems, there are many. Challenges, they are great. But the progress is almost unbelievable. What I have said about South America can be said of many other parts of the whole world. This is a great worldwide church, and so far we have only seen the beginning. Having seen what I have seen in South America, I cannot deny that this is the work of God. I invite any who may have doubts, but who are sincere and honest in heart, to inquire further as to what is the generating force behind this great movement. It is the power of love, the love of God, the love of family, and the love of our fellow men. And because Jesus has again given the keys of the kingdom to a living prophet and modern apostles, this love of family and others can be as eternal as the human soul. Said Jesus to his apostles of old, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I testify that it is by these same keys and these same powers that this marvelous work goes forward throughout all of the earth. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.